You ever look at some complex software diagram and just feel lost? Like you know there's logic there, but untangling all the connections seems, well, daunting.
Oh, absolutely. That feeling of staring at spaghetti code or spaghetti architecture, maybe. It's pretty
Well,
common.
yeah, and that's why well-defined architectures are so helpful. Today we're diving deep into the Elm architecture. And we're not trying to get bogged down in every single line of code. Our mission for you is to really get the fundamental ideas. How does Elm handle the way information flows? How does it deal with user clicks and things using its type system?
Right, we're looking at some material that breaks down Elm's declarative approach, focusing on those core mechanics. Feel a bit less like reading the entire manual and more like getting a guided tour of the main control room.
Exactly, spotlighting the key parts and how they guarantee things work together reliably.
So where do we start with Elm? Usually with Sandbox, right?
Yeah, Sandbox. It sounds simple, like a place to play, but it's actually the starting point for basic Elm apps. It sets the stage.
It really does. It defines a core structure. The type signature tells you a lot. Sandbox, intt.modelAir, ViewModelAir, HTML, MSGAir, update MSGMS, UDIP, MSG, ModelSSG program, ModelMSG.
Whoa, okay. That's a lot of symbols. Let's unpack that record part first, the bit in the curly braces.
Good idea. So first up is init. Its type is just model.
Model. So that's the application state, like the data it needs to keep track of.
Precisely. It's the initial value of your application state. And notice model is lowercase.
Ah, so it's a type variable, meaning it's not one specific structure. It could be anything, an integer, a list, a complex record.
Exactly that. It's flexible. You define what model means for your specific app. If it's a counter, maybe model is just int. If it's a user profile, it's maybe a record with name, email, etc.
Okay, and it is the start state. Then view.model.s, HTML, MSG. That looks like a function.
It is. It takes the current model, the current state, and produces HTML MSG.
HTML, MSG. So it generates the HTML we see. But what's that MSG tacked on the end? Is that related to user interactions?
That's the crucial link. HTML here isn't just plain HTML, it's a type constructor. Think of it like a container or a blueprint for HTML that knows about the type of messages that can originate from within it.
Okay, so the view itself has to declare what kind of events or actions might happen within it.
Yes, it's a fundamental concept. The type HTML MSG signifies that this piece of UI is capable of producing messages of type MSG. It connects the visual representation directly to potential interactions at the type level.
Interesting. So view creates HTML MSG. Then the third piece is update MSG model, MS model, another function.
Right. This one takes an MSG, one of those messages the view can produce, and the current model, and its job is to return a new model.
So this is where the state actually changes. An action happens, an MSG comes in, an update calculates the next state based on that message and the current state.
You got it. It's the core logic engine. Click a button, MSG is sent, update handles it, produces a new model, and then Elm takes care of re-rendering the view with that new model.
This sounds really orderly, like a defined cycle.
It is. Model view update. That's the pattern.
In the whole sandbox function returns program, model MSG, what's program? And
Program is emphases.
program is another type constructor representing a running Elm application. It's called unit. It's a type with only one value also written. In this context, for simple sandbox apps, it essentially means no initial flags or no external data needed at startup.
Oh, okay. So it's like a placeholder saying we're self-contained, nothing needed from the outside to kick things off.
Pretty much. For more complex apps, that first type parameter to program is used for passing in initial data, maybe from JavaScript, but Sandbox keeps it simple with.
Got it. So Sandbox bundles init, view, and update, connecting them via model and MSG, and packages it all up as a simple program.
Exactly. It establishes that fundamental loop.
Now, this MSG type seems really central. You said the view produces HTML MSG, and update consumes MSG. Let's really dig into what these messages are. Yeah, they're the communication mechanism. Because HTML is parameterized by MSG, any interactive element you define in your view has to specify what MSG it's going to send.
Can we see an example? The source mentions a counter example.
Perfect. So imagine a simple counter. The model would just be an int and it would be zero.
Okay, simple enough.
The key part is defining the message type. You'd write something like type MSG equals increase counter, decrease counter.
Ah, so you're defining a custom type MSG with two possible values, increase counter or decrease counter. Those are the only things that can happen in this app.
For this simple example, yes, those are the only defined events or actions.
Then the update function would take one of these MSG values.
Right, update MSG-model-model. Inside, it would use a case expression, like case to MSG of increase counter model plus one, decrease counter model model. It has to handle both cases.
Because MSG only has those two possibilities. The compiler makes sure you cover them all.
Exactly. Exhaustiveness checking.
Okay, now the interesting part, the view function, view.model-html-msg, it shows the number and two buttons.
Mm-hmm. A plus button and a minus button.
And the source shows an example where the onclick handlers are weird, onclick false, and onclick 23.5. And it says this doesn't compile. Why?
Because onclick needs to produce a message of type MSG. That's what the HTML MSG in the view signature promised.
Ah. So onclick needs to be given either increase counter or decrease counter in this case.
Precisely. You'd write onclick increase counter for the plus button and onclick decrease counter for the minus button. Trying to pass a bool like false or a float like 23.5 is a type error.
So the compiler stops you dead in your tracks if your UI tries to send a message that your update function doesn't know how to handle?
Yes. That's the safety net. No runtime errors saying undefined is not a function because you forgot to handle a specific event or because the event data wasn't what you expected. The types enforce that connection before you run the code.
That's huge. Okay, let's look closer at the types of the HTML functions themselves, like div or onclick. How do they enforce this?
Good question. Let's take div. Its type signature is div, list, attribute MSG.
List.
HTML MSG, below HTML MSG.
Okay, lots of MSGs in there.
Notice it's the same MSG everywhere. It means any attributes, like event handlers, inside the div, and any child HTML elements nested within it must all agree on the same message type MSG.
So everything inside a container has to speak the same message language?
You could put it that way, yeah. It ensures consistency within that part of the view.
And onclick specifically?
Its signature is onclick MSG, attribute MSG, very clear. You give it a value of your message type, MSG, and it creates an attribute, attribute MSG, that, when clicked, produces messages of that exact type.
So it takes the specific message you want to send, like increase counter, and wires it up?
Directly. Type-safe connection from interaction to message.
Wow. Okay. But not all attributes trigger messages, right? Like heading a CSS style.
Great point. Yeah. That brings in polymorphism. Look at the type for the style attribute. Style. String. String MSDB MSG.
Huh. There's only one MSG there on the result attribute MSG.
Exactly. The MSG is just a placeholder here. It means style can create an attribute that fits into any context, regardless of the specific message type, MSG, all those three, whatever, being used in that part of the view. It doesn't produce messages itself, so it doesn't need to be tied to a specific message type.
So things that don't cause actions can be more flexible in terms of the message type they work with.
Precisely. That polymorphism makes common attributes like style or class reusable across different parts of your application that might handle different kinds of messages.
This all ties back to guaranteeing that update can handle anything the view throws at it.
It does. Because HTML MSG forces the view to declare its potential messages, and onclick and other event handlers ensure they produce the correct type of message, and the case expression in update must handle all defined messages. Well, you've basically designed away the possibility of an unhandled event message at runtime.
You eliminate that whole category of bugs. That's pretty compelling.
It's one of Elm's major selling points for reliability.
But what happens when you build bigger UIs? You compose smaller view functions, right? What if one part doesn't really send messages and another part does? The source mentions combining a view text and view buttons.
Right. This is a common scenario and highlights how the types guide you. Let's say you write view text to just display some text. You might initially think no messages here and give it the type view text model-html.
Using for no messages makes sense initially.
But then you have view buttons.html MSG, which does produce messages of type MSG, like our counter buttons.
Yeah.
Now you try to put them together in a list inside a div, like div view text model, view buttons.
But Elm complains because the div expects everything inside to have the same MSG type, but we have.
And HTML and industry different types. The compiler flags this mismatch. You can't directly mix them like that.
So how do you fix it?
The solution is to make view text polymorphic over the message type. You change its signature to view text.model-html MSG.
Ah, using the lowercase MSG type variable again.
Right. Since ViewText doesn't actually create any messages, it doesn't care what the potential message type of its context is. By making it HTML MSG, it becomes compatible with any message type.
So when you combine view text, now HTML MSG, with view buttons, HTML MSG, Elm can say, okay, for this specific usage, that polymorphic MSG in view text can just be unified with the concrete MSG type from view buttons.
Precisely. It just works. The general principle is, if a view function doesn't actually emit messages, you give it a polymorphic HTML MSG type signature for maximum flexibility and composability.
That's a really neat solution guided by the type system.
It encourages good design patterns for reusable view components.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up. We dove into the Elm architecture starting with Sandbox,
which sets up the core loop with init for the starting state.
View for displaying the state as HTML MSG, crucially linking the UI to potential messages.
And update for handling those specific MSG types and calculating the new state model.
And the aha moment, really, is understanding how that HTML MSG type acts like a contract.
Yeah, it guarantees that the interactions defined in your view are directly tied to the logic in your update function, all checked by the compiler.
Which prevents that whole class of runtime errors from unhandled or mismatched UI events.
A huge win for robustness.
So for you listening, grasping this core idea how Elm uses types to connect UI events, MSG, to state updates via the view gives you real insight into why Elm apps are often praised for their reliability and maintainability.
It's about making the flow of data and user intent explicit and verifiable right from the start.
Definitely. So here's a final thought to chew on. How might this Elm approach, this explicit modeling of UI interactions and state changes within a strong type system, influence how we think about building software elsewhere?
Even if you're not using Elm, could the core principles, like clearly defining the messages that flow between parts of your system, ensuring handlers exist for all possible messages, could those ideas help build more reliable systems in, say, Java or Python or JavaScript?
Yeah, thinking about those communication pathways and guarantees, maybe there are lessons there, regardless of the language or framework, something to consider.